In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Conference. And we'd like to start our conversation by invoking Mary to be with us. Mary has many titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. We also like to invoke Mary. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's turn to Mary and say the prayer that she loves so much, and let's enter into our conversation. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let's turn now to our spiritual director, who is the Holy Spirit. And let's beg the Holy Spirit to be with us. The Holy Spirit has many titles, among which would be He's the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. Holy Spirit is also known as our Consoler, as well as our Counselor. Holy Spirit is our sanctifier. We want to grow in holiness. The Holy Spirit is the key. And the Holy Spirit is our consoler. In the midst of the trials and tribulations of our life, the Holy Spirit wants to come to give us consolation and strength to carry our daily cross. Then St. Paul reminds us, he says, we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. Let's pray the traditional prayer to the Holy Spirit. That is, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful, by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit, we may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in His consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint Peter Damian, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. Great to be with you as always. And we'd like to offer our heartfelt prayers for all of you. especially like to pray for you in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We should never forget the importance and the power of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The Mass indeed is Opus Dei. It is the work of God. So let's try to get to know the Mass better, to participate in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass fully, actively, and consciously. When possible, to receive Holy Communion with the right dispositions, even on a daily basis. So my intentions will be, I'd like to pray for your pursuit of holiness, that all of us will make a concerted effort on our part to do all we possibly can to become saints. Today, we'll be talking about a saint that we celebrate today. Maybe not that well known by you, but part of our ongoing process of formation is obviously to get to know the Word of God. That's essential. But also trying to get to know the saints. Actually, the saints were those who actually put the Word of God into practice better than anyone else. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church says that the saints can help us in two ways. The saints can pray for us. They are God's friends as well as our friends. But all the saints can pray for us, true, but also they leave a good example for us to follow. We all should have models. People look to models to imitate in sports and music and culture and writing and poetry and cooking. We all look for models on a human level. But we should be looking for spiritual models. And of course, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph are the best. But then the saints. The saints serve as splendid models for us to get to know, to imitate, and we should be talking to them as our friends. My second intention, I'd like to pray for your families, especially for your children. One of my big fears for your children and teenagers is the militant, aggressive agenda of promoting transgenderism. Even in contortions of our language, changing pronouns, which we no longer call our children he or she, male or female, but giving different pronouns in which they're not defining the specific identity of their sexual identity. This is horrific. So I'd like to pray for your family, your children, your teenagers, and you who are the principal teachers of your children. Read Gaudium et Spes number 48 from the documents of Vatican II. God is best number 48, and you'll be aware more and more of your role as Christian educators of your children. Finally, I'd like to pray that all of us will grow in our prayer life. Our catechetical motivational element would be to pray to the saints. The saints indeed are God's friends. But the saints also are our friends. So that being the case, my friends, let's go through our... Let's start with an overview of what we'll be talking about. Then I'd like to start by talking about the saint and then As always, there's so much to be said in our conversation. Can we celebrate today St. Peter Damian? We're talking about him. Then, last week we moved from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And little by little we're going through the letter of St. James. We've arrived at St. James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. And then the responsorial psalm will be Psalm 19, and the antiphon is the precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. The gospel today is somewhat long. It's taken from Mark chapter 9, verse 14 to 19. There's a lot, but the very heart of this is that Jesus comes down from the Mount of the Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. The disciples are trying to expel a demon who's a deaf, mute boy of this worried father. The apostles are not able to expel the evil spirit, but Jesus does. Worried about this, they ask the Lord when they're in the house, why couldn't they do it? Mark says only by prayer. Another gospel will say by prayer and fasting can these devils be cast out. So there, my friends, we have an overview of what we're going to be talking about today. St. Peter Damian, James, chapter 3. Psalm 19 and Mark chapter 9, the expelling of the evil spirit. So let's dive into our spiritual banquet. I always like to try to apply the lives of these saints to our own life and try to make a connection between the saint and the readings we have today. James says that we should ask for wisdom. He says we should ask for true wisdom, and the saint that we celebrate today, indeed, was imbued with a real spirit of great wisdom. The name of the saint we celebrate today, his name is Saint Peter Damian. Saint Peter Damian. He was born in Italy, and he lived around the year 1007 to the year 1072. And he died February 22nd or 23rd, 1072. What we know about this saint is the following. He had hardships as a child. One of the reasons was is because his older brother treated him very, very harshly. So there was a priest whose name was Damian, rescued the little boy and made sure that he would get a good education. So this priest, seeing him in danger of being really mistreated by his older brother, how sad that an older brother would treat his younger sibling so meanly, but God sent this priest, this father Damian, to rescue him. He put him in the hands of good educators. He became a teacher, a very good teacher. Then he felt called to become a priest. So he was ordained to the priesthood. Then around the year 1035, Peter Damian Rarely felt called to a deep prayer life and a life of penance. So he entered into the Benedictine monastery there in Italy. And the Benedictine monastery would have these cells where these two small cells where two monks would live in two small cells. But also the Benedictine monastery started to enter into a state of decline. So what he did was he dedicated himself to prayer and to fasting and to penance and to silence, long hours in prayer. So after about 8 years, Peter Damian, he was elected to be the abbot, which would be the superior of the Benedictines. So being aware of disorder, a lack of discipline, Peter Damian decided to reform that monastery. He believed only by going back to the original spirit that came from Saint Benedict would they be able to really reform that Benedictine monastery. Then they could give good witness to others. Because of the good example, the prayer, the penance, the holiness of Peter, five other religious houses were built. See how holiness is kind of like a magnet. Holiness is kind of like a magnet that attracts. We should pray that we're able to bring people to Christ. We should, my friends. The biggest religious group in the United States are non-practicing Catholics. Like Peter Damian, let's go deeper in our prayer life, practice penance, and become the real deal. And bring these many, many wandering souls in our country back to the practice of the faith. So what happened was this. Peter's talents and zeal were not confined to the monastery. So the Pope, being aware of his great talents, around the year 1057, 15 years after he had been elected abbot, the Holy Father called him to become bishop, archbishop, and then cardinal of Ostia, which is a city on the outskirts of Rome. And his work was very hard. He was a writer, he was a poet, he was a mystic. But he was called to settle disputes, to attend synods for bishops and priests, and to fight many abuses. So Father Abbot, now Bishop Peter Damian, looking at the society that he lived in, he lived in the 11th century, the 1000s. 1,000 years ago. He was aware of this. If you want to have a good army, a good company, a good sports team, a lot depends on reforming the leaders in that area. So he made an effort to help the leaders of the empire as well as the clergy to live exemplary lives. So So he wrote letters, biographies, sermons, stories, and even poems to encourage others to restore discipline to their lives. It's kind of what St. Ignatius of Loyola had proposed when he composed the spiritual exercises guided by Mary and the Holy Spirit. That would be to order the disordered. To order the disordered in our lives. He had such a powerful impact that even in Germany, when he lived, there was a German king who had a lot of problems with his wife, and he was deciding to divorce his wife. And Peter Damian, aware of the fact that this would give bad example to Germany as well as Europe, he persuaded the king not to divorce his wife. Very aware of the fact that a king divorcing his wife, this would be public notice and public scandal, he persuaded the king not to do that. But even though Peter Damian had to travel a lot, he had the heart of a monk at heart. At the end of his life, he asked if he could leave being Archbishop Cardinal and just go back to the monastery, where he'd be able to pray and do penance. Well, so we see in this man, he really had a contemplative heart, but he had so many gifts and talents that they pulled him out of what he wanted to do. So he could preach and teach and write, being a bishop, entering into diplomacy, to reform, to establish peace between different factions. But one of the things that he really insisted upon is that priests and bishops have to live holy lives. That's right. Priests and bishops have to live holy lives. So I invite all of you to pray to St. Peter Damian, who is a doctor of the church, an abbot, priest, bishop, doctor of the church because of his great teachings and writings. That through the intercession of St. Peter Damian, the church would be reformed, especially for the conversion, the reformation, and the sanctity of priests and bishops, archbishops, and cardinals. This should be our prayer. St. Peter Damian, pray for us. If you'd like to spend a couple of minutes now on the first reading, St. James says that we should pray for the grace to be wise. To be wise in understanding. But also to show works by a good life in the humility that comes from wisdom. We really see this in St. Peter Damian. He was wise. He was humble. He was a servant, and he did much good. But then, St. James reminds us to be aware, especially in the role, you're in the role of leadership, We must avoid bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Avoid bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. My friends, yesterday in the Mass, the Sunday Mass, we started with the first reading where King Saul, with 3,000 of his soldiers, go off on a campaign to seek out David. Why? They want to seek out David so that King Saul can actually kill David. So already twice in the life of David and Saul, Saul tries to kill David. He throws a spear at him with the intention of killing him. Now, related to the first reading of James, bitter jealousy. What had taken possession of the soul, the mind, the heart, the soul, and the whole being of Saul was a bitter jealousy. And it stemmed from this, that both Saul and David were military officers. And Saul apparently had his gifts. But David went beyond Saul. So on one occasion, after many victories, Saul was marching into Jerusalem, and there was a procession, and the Jewish handmaids with tambourines and cymbals and musical instruments, sistrums, all those different musical instruments back then, they were singing a song of praise. What was it? This was the content of the song of the Jewish maidens, which Saul heard. They sang, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. So upon hearing this, Saul became very, very angry and bitter. And he is filled with jealousy and envy. And he decided in his heart that David was just lacking the crown to be the new king. So Saul decided in his heart to eliminate this problem by means of trying to kill David. That was the first reading yesterday, and you know what happened was God put Saul and his soldiers to sleep. David goes over to the camp where Saul is sleeping, and there is the sword of Saul. David picks it up. David's friend Abishai said, now we can kill him. God has delivered him into our power. David says, I will not lay a hand up upon the anointed one. Then David will cry out from a distance, telling Saul that he has his sword. And then Saul ends up by blessing David for his honesty, his sincerity, his humility. So the point I'd like to make, taken from the first reading yesterday and the first reading today from St. James, is that we have to be very, very careful in our lives not to give in to jealousy and envy. We have to be very, very careful not to give in to jealousy and envy. And if you have children, you have to make a real effort to cultivate your children so they don't have jealousy and envy among themselves. And we can be on guard not to give in to jealousy and envy by deep prayer. By cultivating prayer, the bad spirit of envy, because it's a bad spirit of envy, disappears from us. The second is when we're aware, we as well as the teacher, children this, when we are aware that someone has some talent, has some talent or gift that maybe we don't have. And what should we do? We should thank God for that gift. When we see that person, we should actually compliment that person on the gift that he has. That's right, we should thank God for the gift. And we should compliment that person on the gift because that gift that the person has comes from God himself. Comes from God himself. Then, finally, trying not to focus and compare yourself to others. Comparisons are odious, as the saints teach us. Not to compare yourself to others. And you know from experience, when you end up by comparing yourself to others, the net result or the fruit of this is that you fall into sadness. So to remedy this, what should we do? We should try to recognize we all have talents. That's right. We all have our own talents. We all have our own talents. So we should cultivate the talents that God has given to us. That's right. Cultivate the talents that God has given to us. So that's my teaching on James chapter 3, to beware of the devil of jealousy and envy and not to give in to that. Remember, Cain killed Abel because of jealousy and envy, and Saul wanted to kill David because of jealousy and envy. Let's not allow that devil to come into our lives. So the responsorial psalm is the precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. So our hearts should rejoice, my friends, in the Word of God. In the Word of God. That should be the true joy of our lives. Our hearts should be the Word of God. That takes us right into the gospel for today. The gospel for today, taken from Mark chapter 9, 14 to 29, is it's a follow-up, a sequel to the Transfiguration. So I invite all of you with me. We could put into motion the tools that we've learned in making an Ignatian contemplation. That's right. Utilize the tools that God has given to us. to carry out Ignatian contemplation. So beg for the grace of intimate knowledge of Jesus, that you love him more ardently and you follow him more closely. That's the Ignatian grace. Then a good way, a good analogy I like to give on how to go to do a contemplation is, imagine you go to a movie theater. A movie theater, and you have the big screen. Then you have the actors, and you have the protagonists, and you have the plot, and you have the subplot. Then you have the action, then you have the words. Then you have the gestures. Using that as a backdrop, you can make a contemplation. So, you want to be utilizing your imagination. Mason speaks about what's called composition of place. We want to try to imagine the scene. So you imagine that you're in the scene. Then contemplate the persons that are present. Who's there? And of course, the central person in our contemplation is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the center. Then contemplate their actions, what they're doing, and derive fruit. Then contemplate their words. What is the conversation that goes on? Derive fruit. Ignatius also insists that we should have a colloquy. Colloquy means we have a conversation with the Lord. It could be a simple, double, or triple colloquy. We could talk with Mary and St. Joseph. We could talk with Peter, James, and John. Well, we always want to be focusing especially on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, let's try to enter into this wonderful scene, this biblical contemplative scene, and let's try to enter into it and to derive a lot of fruit from it. So we'd like to really be, we want to be praying over what we're learning in our perseverance family conversations every morning. We want to derive a lot of fruit for our own meditation contemplation. Okay, so let's walk through it. So, Jesus has ascended the Mount of the Transfiguration. And he's taken with him his three best friends, Peter, James, and John. They're on the top of the mountain. Jesus is transfigured, in which his clothes become dazzlingly white as the sun, more bright than any bleacher could possibly make clothes. Jesus is talking with Moses and Elijah. Peter, James, and John are present witnessing this. Peter says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us build three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and another one for Elijah. He didn't really know what he was saying. Then a voice could be heard from heaven. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. That was the voice of God the Father. The apostles were fearful. They fell to the ground. When they opened up their eyes, only Jesus was there. There's a lot here. But this thought occurred to me, my friends. Peter, James, and John had the privilege. Peter, James, and John had the privilege of being with Jesus seeing Jesus, listening to him, talking to him. We have the same privilege. Maybe we're even more privileged than Peter, James, and John. Why? Because we have the church. We have the Blessed Sacrament. We have the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So Jesus was in one place at a time where throughout the whole world, in all the Catholic churches throughout the world, Jesus is truly present in every tabernacle of the world. So what we have in our church is every day after the 12 o'clock Mass, from 1 o'clock all the way up to 6 o'clock in the evening. From 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the evening, we have Jesus exposed on the altar. The apostles were able to see Jesus in person on the Mount of the Transfiguration, those 3 years during his public life. We can come to visit him every time we go to a church. And even if the Blessed Sacrament is not exposed publicly in the monstrance, he still is present in the tabernacle. So what I'm trying to do is to go into the biblical text and to flesh it out so that you can understand how you can apply the Word of God to your own lives. Remember the method I taught you. Read, memorize, general understanding, personal interpretation, practical application. Those are 5 steps to do a good meditation. Then, the gospel for today, Jesus is descending. He's coming down the Mount of Transfiguration. Try to imagine it. So Jesus, Peter, James, and John are descending the mountain. Now at the bottom of the mountain were the other apostles. So you had the other 9 apostles would have been at the foot of the mountain. Upon arriving down, they see Jesus. It's interesting. It says they see Jesus and they're amazed. Possibly there was still some of that glory, that radiance that was just radiating from Christ, and the people were amazed. There was a crowd, and they said they ran up to greet him. That's what we should do. They ran up to greet him, and we should be willing to run up and to greet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And not to turn him away. Ran up to greet him and not to turn him away. Or to be indifferent or apathetic. Or nonchalant in his presence. We should be enthusiastic to meet Christ. So when he gets to the bottom of the mountain, and the people see him and greet him, as is always the case, there's a problem. Our world is filled with problems. There's a problem. What's the problem this time? Well, the problem this time is that the scribes are arguing, they used to be the teachers of the law, the scribes are arguing with them. So what is the problem is this. Scribes are arguing with the disciples. Because the apostles, the disciples, are not able to carry out and to resolve a very important problem. What was that? Well, there was a man, there was a father that sought out Jesus and his disciples to help his son. And apparently his son was possessed by a devil. That's right. This devil was a deaf, mute devil, which the boy could not hear and the boy could not speak. Jesus in his public ministry, which lasted about 3 years, primarily exercised three activities. First would be that Jesus was involved in much preaching the Word of God. There we see in the Gospel yesterday, the Sermon on the Plain, where Jesus is preaching and teaching and explaining and giving examples, so people can understand what God wants of them. Second is Jesus would carry out miracles over nature and healing of people with infirmities. Now the last activity Jesus would carry out with a certain frequency we have in the Gospels, as we see the presence of the devil. The devil appears time and time again in the ministry of Christ. And sometimes our Lord is going to encounter persons that are possessed by the devil. That's right. Diabolical possessions are real. This was the case in the Gospel today. This father brings his son who's actually possessed by a devil. Diabolical possession is true. The other day in Arizona, on February 11th, about a week ago, there was a group of people that were involved in consecrating themselves to Satan. That's right. Consecrating themselves to Satan. This is becoming more and more rampant in our society as we see it present in the society of Christ. The devil exists. Yesterday in my spiritual exercises program, I gave the triple meditation, the triple sin. The first sin is the fall of the angels, which would be the angels rejecting God and being turned into devils. So you cannot deny the existence of the devils. Well, you can't deny the fact that Jesus is much more powerful than the devils, as we're going to see in our explanation. So the Father approaches Jesus and begs him from the depths of his heart to heal his son. So Jesus talks with the Father and he says, look, I brought my son to your disciples, but they could not expel the devil from my son. So Jesus enters into dialogue with the Father, and the Father says, look, The devil will often throw him in fire as well as into water with intention of killing my son. And then the son would have these convulsions. So Jesus asked the father, how long has this happened? The father says, ever since he was a child. So Jesus tells him to bring the son there, and he says, you faithless, incredulous generation. How much longer will I have to put up with you? So Jesus says in the exorcism of this boy, deaf and mute spirit, I command you to leave this boy and to never come back again. And the boy enters into convulsions. Then he lays flat on the ground. People seeing this said, oh, he looked like a corpse, and they said he's dead. Jesus takes the boy by the hand and gives the boy back to the father. And even before that, Lord, the father said, Lord, if you can, our Lord said, if you can, all is possible for those who have faith. That's right. All is possible for those who have faith. And the man says, Lord, I believe, but strengthen my faith. Beautiful prayer. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe, but strengthen my faith. That should be our prayer. Lord, I believe, but strengthen my faith. So the son is given to the father, and the evil spirit has left him. Our Lord has carried out another exorcism. People are astonished at the power of Christ. So they end up in the house. And the apostles... The apostles were reflecting upon the whole happening. They're reflecting upon the whole happening. And they turn to Jesus and they ask him, Lord, why could we not expel the evil spirit? Why not? Why could we not drive this spirit out? Now, there are two different gospel interpretations of what our Lord said. I'll give you both. In the Gospel of St. Mark that we're reading through, Jesus says this kind can only come out through prayer. Only through prayer can this devil be expelled. In another one of the Gospels, Jesus will say, this one can be cast out only by prayer and by fasting or by penance. I think those words of Jesus Christ in the two Gospels, this can be cast out by prayer. Another Gospel says by prayer and penance. It's a good preparation for us. Why? Because in 9 days, not this week, but the following week, On Wednesday, we will be entering into the holy season of Lent. That's right. The Church gives us this great gift, this holy season of Lent, starting with Ash Wednesday. In Ash Wednesday, as well as Good Friday, are 2 days in which the Church obliges us to the practice of fasting and, of course, prayer. So even though we're 9 days away, 9 days away from entering this holy season of Lent, I invite all of you to already think about what are some Lenten practices that you can undertake. If you go to the website Spirit Daily, as well as Catholic Exchange, Spirit Daily, it's on the front page. Catholic Exchange, you can scroll down. You'll see my article. I write blog articles every week. You'll be able to read 10 Lenten practices. So I invite you to maybe go to the website Spirit Daily Catholic Exchange. And yours truly wrote an article on what are 10 practices that we can undertake. And there's a comment below where a woman says, take one. Kind of like what she said, rather than trying to do all of them, maybe take one or two, and to be faithful to those practices, rather than trying to do the 10 of them. That comment that the lady wrote below, I think, is very good. So, my friends, we've had a wonderful conversation today, as always. Invite some of your friends to become part of our Perseverance family, because we're forming a wonderful family. And as I promised, I will pray for you, and you pray for me. Now let's turn to St. Peter Damian and ask him to pray for the priests and bishops in the Church, because I really believe that the reformation of the Church will come through the reformation of the priests and the bishops and the religious. I'd like to give you my priestly blessing now. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.